and I'm discouraged about life. And I convinced myself, give it up, we'll be alright. Satan whispers, he'll make me slip forever someday. Oh, it's not that easy. There's a cross standing in my way. The cross stands between me and forever. To die in sin is a choice left up to me. If I go down, I'll have to pass right by that tree. Sinner, hear the words I'm saying to you now. If sin's flames become your home, I don't see how. Cause you'll go there through loved ones' prayers they pray each day. Oh, not to mention that there's a cross standing in your way.
Bibles this morning, the book of John, chapter number 5. I've been going to read verse number 39. Jesus speaking here, and he says, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your blessings. We thank you for the Word of God, and we ask you to help us now that we might be an able minister of the Word. Father, just speak to each and every heart, and Father, help us communicate, I pray this morning, your Word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I want to begin this morning. Here we are, the first Sunday in August. Amen. I think it's, August the 2nd. And for at least the month of August, we're going to be looking at some Bible themes, some different themes of the Bible, doctrines of the Bible, things that we see and we find in Scripture. And this morning I want us to look at, as a theme that's in the Bible, is Jesus is the subject of Scripture. Jesus, the subject of Scripture. He says in our text verse that we read, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me," Jesus said. Now, when we talk about subject, to define subject, simply it means the main idea. The main idea. And so, search the Scripture. And this particular word here used for the searching of the Scripture was applied to miners that would go in and try to mine the precious metals from the earth. They went in and they searched for that vein of precious metal. They searched to find that treasure. And so he says here, search the Scripture. Because I'll tell you this morning, we can find nothing more precious than Jesus. Nothing more precious than Jesus. And so Jesus is telling them here in this particular passage, you search the Scripture because you believe that in the Scripture there is blessings to be had. You search the Scripture because you believe them to be the truth of God. And so you search the Scripture thinking that in them you'll find eternal life. And surely you will. It's in there. You're searching and you're looking and you'll find that in Scripture. But what Jesus tells them is it's those very Scriptures that you're searching, that you're looking, that you say that you're looking to. He said that speak of me. I'm the subject. Jesus is the subject of Scripture, the subject of the Bible. The main subject of the Bible, amen, is Jesus. The Bereans in the book of Acts chapter 17 were commended for searching the Scriptures daily to see if those things were so. It wasn't, they heard it, but amen, they wanted to make sure, amen, that it was so according to the Scriptures. Timothy is said from a child that you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make us wise unto salvation. You see, Jesus is the great subject, the main idea of Scripture. And so that's what we want to look at this morning for a few minutes. Jesus, the subject of Scripture. And the first thing that I want us to see is Jesus as the Creator. Amen. Jesus as the Creator. We find in the book of Colossians in chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. And in verse number 15, it says, talking about Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. You see, Genesis records the creation of the world that was accomplished by God using the word. Using by God, and that word Elohim was translated for God in Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning, God, Elohim, which is a plural form for deity. So we have in the beginning, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And we see in the New Testament, it's made clear that all things were created, amen, by Jesus. It tells us in John chapter 1 and verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So Jesus, He made all things. Now this does not mean that God the Father and God the Holy Spirit had no part in creation, but it does give Jesus the place of being the main subject of creation. Amen. As the Word went forth and moved, their creation came to be. And so it says in our text that we read there in Colossians 1 and 15 that all things were created by Him and for Him. He is Jesus as the subject of the Bible. Amen. Is the creator, amen, of the universe. In the book of Revelations, we find it tells us in Revelation 4, in verse number 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Amen. Jesus, the subject of creation in the Bible, He is the creator of all things. Amen. Jesus as creator. A lot of people want to just designate Jesus as, well, He was a good man. No, amen. He was the creator of the universe. Jesus was in the beginning, amen, with God, and then that was made. It was made because of Jesus. So we see Jesus in creation from the very beginning of time. We see Him as the Creator. But also, amen, we see Jesus, secondly, in the book of Philippians. Amen, in Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 9. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 9. It tells us, Wherefore God also has highly exalted Him, talking about Jesus, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. So Jesus is seen in Scripture as the great creator of the universe, but amen, the Bible also tells us that Jesus, we see Him as the supreme ruler. Jesus, it says here that He's been given a name that is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. That is the whole creation which Jesus created should bow in submission to Him, because He is the supreme ruler and judge of all the world. Amen. That they should bow down before Him. He's been given a name above every name. Now, while Scripture attributes supreme sovereignty to God the Father, it's clear from Scripture that it is God's purpose that Christ should rule. That Christ should rule. Now, it is the history of mankind to rebel against God. I mean, if one thing man's good at, it's rebelling. I mean, rebelling against God. And every one of us, if we're honest, we all have recognized some rebellion in us. Sometimes we might not want to say nothing. I mean, well, we probably always want to say something. Sometimes we might hold our tongue, but it's there. And of course, we know from the beginning man rebelled. And he's in rebellion. Listen to these verses. It sounds like they might have wrote these yesterday. I'm talking about from the way the world is going. Amen. Boy, it fits where we live. Listen in Psalms chapter 2 it asks the question, in beginning of verse 1, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. I mean, does that not sound like the America, like the world that we live in today? Amen. They get together. They do everything that they can. We're trying to break the bands of this Jesus. We want to get rid of all of these restraints. Amen. We want to make the rules. We want to say what's right. We want to say what's wrong. We want to do. We want this. Amen. And so they rage. And amen. God help us in this world. It's easy to look and to see our world is raging this morning. And their main focus and rage is against everything that's right and good. Amen. They rage against God. And they want to break the bands. But listen to verse 4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. You see, if we look on down in verse number 8 of this same chapter, he tells us, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the utmost parts of the earth for thy possessions. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. You see, it's not just that this is the first time that the world's rebelled. Amen. Boy, they rebelled against God back all the way back in Noah's day. They don't do things their way. They didn't have no use for God. They had zero use for God. You know how I know? Because how many was on the boat? Amen. There was 8 souls that were saved. Rest of the world, listen, think about that now. The rest of the world didn't have any use for God. They broke His bands, so they thought. No doubt they mocked and they laughed at Noah and his boys for building the boat. But amen. But God was still sitting on the throne. Amen. And He says here, speaking of Jesus, ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Amen. Jesus is going to rule. See, Psalms chapter 110 and verse number 1, it says this, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. In the world that we live, God has allowed many rulers to rise and to fall, to reign for a time. But each one of those, they've had a time frame. They've had a period and a time to reign. But amen, but the reign of Christ is for eternity. Amen, for all of time. Amen, He is going to reign. Listen to what He says in Revelation chapter 19. In verse number 15, it says, and out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword. With it He should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You see, Christ Jesus is and will be the supreme judge of all of mankind, like it or not. And there's no man, woman, boy, girl, there's no nation that can change that fact. They can't do anything about it. Amen. It's already been settled in heaven. And amen. And He's got that name that's written that He's the King of Kings and that He's the Lord of Lords. Now, I want to be honest with you and tell you this. as I look back through history, and I told y'all here the other day how I've watched some of the different documentaries about things that's happened in this world, there's been more than one man that has risen up that thought himself to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Thinking that themselves to be possibly immortal. They ain't nobody like me. But amen, they did.
Yeah,
amen. They did. They died. Amen. It didn't turn out the way that they thought. And amen, I'm going to tell you, I hear a saying, they talk about different folks, and I see folks, and they say this of people that reject God and go on their way, and they somehow think they're going to get out of this world alive. Meaning that somehow they're not ever going to have to stand before God, that they're not going to meet God. But amen, that's not what Scripture said, because Jesus is the main subject of the Bible. And amen, Jesus is shown as being the Creator, and Jesus is shown as being the supreme ruler. Jesus. Amen. John chapter 5 verse 7, it says, "And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." God has given him the authority to execute judgment. The third thing here we see about Jesus in Scripture, as we turn back to the book of John in chapter number 1, we see that Jesus, as the incarnate Word of God, the incarnate Word of God. Listen, that word incarnate simply means the embodiment in the flesh. Embodiment in the flesh. And we read in John chapter 1, we've already read this verse, where it says in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That's a powerful statement. But then read verse number 14. Because it tells us in verse 14, "And the Word," the same Word that was in verse number 1, we see in verse number 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So we see Jesus as the incarnate Word, the embodiment in the flesh. Matthew tells us in Matthew chapter number 1, in verse number 23, and we read this in at Christmas time a lot, but it says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." God with us. Amen. The incarnate Word, the physical embodiment of what God is, and the revelation of the very nature of God is seen in Christ Jesus. He came down and robed Himself in flesh to show us all of the attributes that belong unto God. We see in Jesus, we see the wisdom of God, the power of God, the holiness of God, the love of God. And to know Jesus is to know God. Amen. The disciple taught, "Show us the Father." Jesus said, "Amen. Have I been so long a time with you?" He let them know, if you've seen me, if you know me, you know the Father, because Jesus was Emmanuel, God in the flesh, the incarnate Word of God. And so if men, women, boys and girls, if we reject Jesus, we reject God. You cannot say, "Well, Jesus, you know, Jesus was just a man. We believe in God, but Jesus..." No, you can't do that. Not and get to God. Amen. You can't reject Jesus and get to God. The only avenue that we've got whereby we can get to God is through Jesus. Amen. No wonder He's the main subject of Scripture. John chapter 8 and verse 19 Then said they unto him, Where is thy father? Jesus answered, Yet neither know ye me nor my father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my father also. Where's your father? Now, I don't know about them Pharisees. Probably when the Pharisees asked that question, they was probably like this, you know. They was, Where's your father? I don't see him. Where's he at? And they never did see him. Jesus said, If you've seen me, if you knew me, amen, you should have known the Father. Many, many men want to get to God, but they want to ignore Jesus. But to deny Jesus is to deny God. Amen. To deny Jesus is to deny God. You see, listen to what he said in Hebrews chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Who is Jesus? He is the expressed image of God. He's the brightness of his glory. I mean, God don't share his glory with anybody. Amen. So, and listen, the Pharisees, they understood what Jesus was saying. A lot of people say, well, Jesus didn't claim to be God. Yet that's why they crucified him. They knew exactly what his claims were. Amen. That he was claiming to be equal with God, that he was claiming his claims of being God. And they didn't believe, they wouldn't receive. But amen, but who was he? He was the brightness of the glory of God. He was the expressed image, amen, of the person of God. He was the Word incarnate. He came and robed himself in flesh and came like me and you. God became man so he could feel. See, here's the thing. We get this idea sometimes. And listen, believe me, you know, I've often thought that when somebody else, you know, if they was hurting, if they was sick, if they was feeling, you know, if we could just put our hand on them and we could feel what they felt, but we can't. Now then, somebody's asked me before, I've been asked several times, have you ever had a kidney stone? No, sir, I hadn't. I saw a feller just this week, and he's having some problems with his legs. They all bandaged up, and I don't know exactly what the procedure he had done. He said, well, I tell you what, because he asked me that question. He said, you ever had a kidney stone? He said, well, this right here, he said, this is the second worst pain that I've had outside of a kidney stone. Now, if you was asked my daddy about a kidney stone, he could tell you, I know how it feels. Amen. You see, and some of you other ones could tell you, I know how it feels. You know, if you talk about having, you know, different things, some things I can tell you, yeah, I know what you're talking about. But you see, what I'm getting to is Jesus, when we get to the thinking, we think that nobody knows how I feel. Jesus does. Because he took on the robe of flesh. God became man that he might be able to be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Amen. He was a walk through this world and experienced what it was not to have a place to lay his own head, to experience tiredness and experience hunger, to experience rejection. He knows how it feels. Because he became flesh. But amen, but he was the brightness of the glory of God, the expressed image. And listen, the last part of that verse leads us right on into our final point this morning. And it said, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus is the main subject of Scripture. When you get talking about the Bible, about what it's about, listen, there's a lot of things in there. But I'm going to tell you what, from Genesis to Revelations, it's about Jesus. It's about Him. This Christian life that we live, it's about Him. It's about Jesus. It's about a relationship with Jesus. It's not just religion. I mean, listen, religion scattered all over this world, and there's a lot of atrocities carried out in the name of religion. But amen, this morning, Christianity is a relationship with Jesus, the Son of God, who came into this world to take on a robe of flesh. And this last point, the Bible portrays Jesus. He is our Savior. John chapter 1 and verse 29, it says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Well, what a word. What a way to see Jesus if we see Jesus as our Savior. Why did He come? He didn't come into the world to condemn the world. He came into the world because the world was already condemned. He came into the world to seek and to save those that were lost. And amen, Scripture portrays Jesus as our Savior from the very beginning. What do we see in the garden? We mentioned about us at that rebellion of man. In the garden, man done what? Man rebelled. He went his way. And the old devil, I mean, I believe he jumped up and down and he might have done a backflip. He said, I got him. But amen, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. God told in that garden, He told the serpent, He said, I'm going to put an enmity between you. He said, and it was true that the old devil was going to bruise the heel of mankind. But He said, there's one coming that's going to bruise your head. Amen. He's going to defeat you. He's going to put you down. Amen. See what that was in Genesis chapter number 3. Amen. That was a promise that a Savior's coming. Amen. A Savior's coming. I believe when Adam and Eve had that next son, amen, when Seth was born, I believe they thought, well, this is probably him. But amen, it wasn't. There was still some time. Oh, Seth was just like his daddy. He had a sinful nature, and it got passed right on down the line. And sin, man dealt with it. And we see it in the Old Testament because Christ in the Old Testament is pictured as the servant of Jehovah bearing the sins of the whole world. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verses 4 through 6, it talks about that. That He bore our iniquities. I mean, by His stripes we are healed. He was our sacrifice. Then we see the verse we read in John 1:29. Was He saw Jesus, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And listen, I want to read these verses in 1 Peter chapter number 1. Because Jesus, as a sacrifice for sin, He was to die on the cross and suffer the judgment of sin for the whole world. And we read in 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 18, For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by the traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He redeemed me and you. He bought us back. The book of 1 John tells us in 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 2, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sin of the whole world. He was that satisfying sacrifice that satisfied a righteous God. He did that for us. And listen, in the book of Revelations, it tells us in Revelation chapter number 1 and verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. In His own blood. Jesus washed us from our sins. He's our Savior. And how did He do it? He done it in His own blood. You know, I make a joke sometimes. I'll tell, we'll go around, maybe we loading up a truck or getting something, and I'll say, you know, you need some help picking that up? And you know, and I say, if you do, I'll get my wife to help you. You know, sometimes it's easy to volunteer somebody else. But Jesus, He sacrificed His own self. He redeemed us with His own blood. He died. He lost every drop of blood that He had on Calvary's cross. Amen. They nailed Him there because of my sins, because of your sins. As the Savior of the world, He's not only the sacrifice for our sins, but He is our High Priest. And one of the central purposes of God, as revealed in Scripture, is to provide salvation through Jesus Christ for a lost race of people. Accordingly, from Genesis to Revelation, Jesus is presented to us supremely as the only Savior. A lot of people say, well, you know, well, Christianity, boy, it's exclusive. It is. It is. But you know what? So is every other religion around that they think that they're exclusive. But see, it's not what man thinks. What did God say? What did God say? In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, we read these words. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know why Jesus is the main subject of Scripture? It's because He's the only way. There is no other way. He's the truth. He's the life. I mean, He is the way, and there's no other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved. The name of Jesus. Jesus this morning is the main subject of Scripture. He's the Creator. He's the Supreme Ruler. He's the incarnate Word of God. And He is the Savior this morning. If you stand with us this morning, I ask you just every head bowed, every eye closed. This morning while we wait a minute. And amen, we listen to God. If you have opportunity, if you have a need, you've got opportunity to come and to pray this morning while we wait.